This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Remember, when you walk out here, woo, talking...
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Don't think you can walk in that ring and give me a hand or try to help me out and ease the tension in our relationship.
Mike Shope.
The Rolex... wearing diamond ring, wearing kiss stealing, woo!
The Bulldog.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
On WGR.
And we're doing it better than anybody else alive.
Sports Radio 550.
Yes. Okay. Did you guys do the 1 to 10?
Yep.
It's hard.
It was hard. I had 11 things written here. I've crossed one out. And I don't exactly have them ranked. It's hard to rank them.
It is.
I'm not trying to just be like hot take guy. I love that first day of the NFL draft so much. And I don't know that I can accept about myself that I want to put it first. Like, it's bothering me. I feel really conflicted, but I'm looking at everything else and I'm like going, I don't know. Everything else is kind of tied. And I feel like the NFL draft, it's so different because, well, it's not actually a sporting event. It's a sports day. I mean, it's football teams picking college players.
It's really a sports night.
Right. That's right. But the day of it is spent talking about what is going to happen, whether you're on the radio or not, and really months and weeks and months are spent doing that in this job, and also if you don't have this job, fans are just that into it. There's just so much that goes into it. I think it is talked about more than any other single sports day.
In advance of it?
Yeah. Like, the amount of airtime that we spend talking about the draft and what is going to happen in round one, whether it's the Bills or the Giants or the Browns like last year.
Yeah, everybody's as good. Like, it doesn't matter if your team is good.
You're just – there is no way we spend that much time talking about the Patriots and the Rams in the Super Bowl or any of the other playoff games. I mean, it is – so many, it's hundreds of hours every year. And then the draft happens. I mean,
in a sense, yes. Every college basketball game played up until today is that, only it's a game. Like, it's not talking about it, but it's playing your way to today.
Yeah.
And not everybody plays today. And some games are blowouts on this day, but, sure. Well, I've got a 1 to 10. It's definitely not easy. It's the greatest sports days of the year. We want to at least come to some conclusion on what today is. I'm going to say, if you have a 1 to 10, 10 points for first, all the way down to 1 point for 10th. We'll total our points together. I can do that fast. You guys can too. And we'll just see where we end up. All right? I'm ready if you guys want.
You go ahead if you can keep track of your points there. Because I'm still sort of ranking.
Okay, should I go 10 to 1?
Yeah, sure.
I like the guy who called up about Christmas Day. I'm going to give that 10th. 9th, Thanksgiving. NFL, college football. Maybe other things.
I don't like Thanksgiving at all.
Okay. 8th, I will go...
For sports, I mean, by the way.
8th, I will go Masters Sunday. 7th, I will go New Year's. I think one small distinction between New Year's and Christmas or Thanksgiving is, like, really the day is open The tradition of the holiday is to watch, part of the tradition of the holiday is to watch college football, to watch sports. And in Christmas and Thanksgiving, they have their own place in that, but it's not quite the holidays and what they are takes precedence over the sports. And I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just how it, one thought I had. I will put Daytona 6th. I want to recognize racing here. It's millions of people. Daytona and the Masters do about the same ratings-wise, by the way.
That's interesting.
Sixth, I didn't know that. Sixth, I will go Kentucky Derby. That's a little bit above ratings-wise, but not a lot above Daytona and the Masters. And you can make a day of that. That's like just sort of the one time a year we think about horse racing, really, and I think that's kind of fun. Fourth, I will pick Super Bowl Sunday, which is pretty much terrible. The game should be on a Saturday night, and the game is often not that good. It's just, it's never us, you know, anymore, whatever. But it's Super Bowl Sunday. Come on. It's like its own holiday because of the sports. And you like to watch the Canadians that afternoon as well, usually.
That's right. Yeah, they usually play
it's
an afternoon
a Montreal
game.
Canadiens game. Yep. Third, I will pick the draft. I'll put the draft there. I don't have any baseball here, but it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So third, I'll put day one of the draft. I like your points. Second, I'll put today. And I'm putting opening day in the NFL first. I'm putting the week one, the Sunday week one first.
All right.
It's the most fun for the most people on the NFL schedule. It's not the playoffs if your team is out. It's not, you know, any other day. It's like that day, 0-0, beautiful weather everywhere, like, it's the beginning of the season. All your fantasy seasons start right there. So that's my number one.
All right. All right, working backwards. I'm going to go with game one of the NBA Finals. Christmas Day for me, my in-laws come over, and we end up, like, well, we talk, and the basketball never really gets there for me. I like the schedule, and I've dipped into it, but usually we're more apt to end up watching movies or concerts or something. We're all music fans. So it just doesn't rate for me as a day that I recognize its magnitude within the NBA calendar. I'm glad the guy called with it. But it's just, in my house, it doesn't really rate. So I'll take game one of the NBA Finals. That's something that, for me, is I'm going to want to see it when it starts. I'll throw opening day for baseball in at 9. Even though it's all messed up and it's not as traditional as it used to be, there will be 15 games next Thursday.
Right.
So, and some of them will be day games. So,
most.
Right. Good. So I'll give that 9 here.
The Red Sox at Seattle, 7 o'clock in Seattle. 7 o'clock our time is the latest game on the schedule.
All right.
That day.
Derby Day will go 8th for me. You know, as far as sports go, I mean, it's horse racing, and it's barely about the event. It's like hats and cocktails, which are great.
But that's a point in its favor.
This is not a day. We're not rating best days for hats and cocktails.
We should do that tomorrow.
Days. So
that's a good idea for something to do during the UB game, right? So when people are watching that.
Right. So I like it. It's a lot of history with horse racing. So I'm putting it on the list, but it just doesn't rate higher than that for me.
I really would rank cocktails tomorrow if anybody else wanted that.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm not going to get in the way. 7, I'll go week one of the NFL season.
Okay.
6 is Masters Sunday for me. 5 is the Daytona 500. I put the first night of the Stanley Cup playoffs 4th. I'm going to put this day here that we're living today. Oh my God, Murray State is up by 14?
Yep.
12 points.
Early second half. Early second half.
That's massive for this pick 9 of ours.
Could be.
Both of you have Murray State. I feel like I'm done if this happens.
Let's hope so.
All right, anyway. Where was I? 3. So today's 3. Should downgrade it with this Murray State potential result. 2, NFL Championship Sunday. The Super Bowl can, whatever.
Okay.
I don't need a 3-hour halftime show. Adam Levine's nipples, whatever. I'm good. I'll take the two games on Championship Sunday, and then I'm putting the draft first. The NFL draft
is my sellout.
First, my highest ranking sporting event, day.
Joe.
All right. I had to make some adjustments because I had almost completely omissed first day of March Madness, and that has to be in here. So number 10 is Thanksgiving. Football in the morning, then football, NFL after. Champions League final number 9. I'm big on that.
Sticking up for it.
Who was in it last year?
Liverpool and Real Madrid, which made it even more fun for me as a Liverpool fan.
And answered.
Yes. Championship Sunday is 8th for me. Week 1 of the NFL season is 7th. Put that over Championship Sunday because you get the fantasy implications that you don't get in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, I'm putting first day of the NCAA tournament.
Okay. Today.
5, draft day.
Okay.
4, as I've become more of an NBA fan, I'm putting 4 as the first game of the NBA Finals.
Okay.
I'm putting Super Bowl Sunday 3rd. Not really, like partially for the game, but also the food and everything else that goes around it.
Yep.
Number 2, I'm putting the first day of the NHL playoffs. Had to do it.
I left it out and that hurt it.
And then number 1, I am putting Masters Sunday. Not just because of the Masters, but like I mentioned earlier, Masters Sunday, you are also getting hockey playoffs and usually NBA playoffs later in that day too, which makes it a great sports day.
Number 1.
Masters Sunday.
Okay, I'm tabulating. You guys don't understand the true meaning of Christmas, which is a lineup of NBA games. You guys didn't even pick it.
No.
Okay, let's see. First, second, third, tied for third, fifth.
Are there any sixth. Arbitration rights if I don't agree with these results? Binding. Is this a binding?
10th place. Let's see if I have the math right. 10th place, game 1 of the NBA Finals, 8 points. 9th place, Kentucky Derby, 9 points. 8th place, Daytona, 11 points.
Joe not picking at all.
Right.
There, yeah.
7th place, NFL Championship Sunday, 12 points. 6th place, Super Bowl Sunday, 15 points. 5th place, first night of the Stanley Cup playoffs, 16 points. Come on, you guys. It's 3 games. Nobody even watches them. But okay. 4th place, opening Sunday in the NFL, 18 points. 3rd place, tied. Wait, these are tied for 3rd. NFL Week 1 and the Masters are tied for 3rd. I will watch every minute of the Masters I can. And there may not be another sporting event I would say that about. I love that. 2nd, today, 1st, the draft.
I win.
What's the Murray State score? Before you get too proud of yourself over there. So decided, the 3 of us here, after a day of contemplation and discussion, that the NFL draft is the best day of the sports year.
Yes, that's what just happened.
We all voted for it in our top 5.
Did anybody have it first?
Yeah, I did.
Bulldog had it first. I had it 3rd. You had it 5th. Honorable mention. New Year's, Thanksgiving, Champions League, and Christmas. No points for any other NFL. The schedule day did not get any points.
No.
Selection Sunday, the national championship game in any college sport. No. Other playoff rounds in the NFL? No. Wimbledon, U.S. Open in golf or tennis? No.
World Series? Nope.
World Series? No. NBA All-Star Game, the Heisman Trophy Day with the guy called up about Army-Navy and the Heisman? No. MLS Cup? 0.
You guys both took the Super Bowl over Championship Sunday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all right.
Yeah, but it's not – I don't like it. I mean, it's not –
it was more the event for me than it was the actual
game. Yeah, I mean, I mean, it is a party day, and there is a huge game. And I get it.
I would like it a billion times more on a Saturday. Is there any good reason why it's not on a Saturday night? If the NFL is going to insist and the establishment is going to insist the game be at night and go till like 10:30 or 11 o'clock after kids go to bed. It's a school night. Why in the world is that not a Saturday? Can Trump be good for one thing? I mean, make a deal. Art of the deal. There's no deals ever. How about this one deal? Move the Super Bowl to Saturday because it's obviously better. Then you can have it at night. You can have all your commercials. Will millions and millions and millions of people still not watch the Super Bowl if it's on the day before? Of course they will. No, what's wrong? What am I missing? Why should it not be on this Saturday night?
If you want Trump to change it, you need to get Sean Hannity on your side. That's what you need.
Who would not agree?
Let's just get to work on that.
Who would not agree?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know where you're supposed to air the Puppy Bowl then, because that's generally Saturday night.
Move it. Then we can have Sunday.
Saturday's a long day.
Sunday you decompress. It'd be so much better. The Super Bowl Sunday is fine. People manage. People still watch it, obviously, and still go to parties and cook and everything. It still works. But, oh, just think you could improve it.
You're just looking to make their lives better.
That's right.
That's what the show is all about.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know if you haven't picked up on that listening all these years out there, but that's really our mission.
All these good ideas, I don't know where they go. The teams don't hear them and use them. The government doesn't. The government ignores us. The Sabres did wear white at home once. That was an idea we've had for 50 years. Because Carolina wanted them to.
It wasn't because it wasn't even their idea. To do it. They just, okay, that's fine. We'll wear white.
Yeah, Carolina wanted it. Right. They get what they want.
Carolina.
So there it is. There's the list.
All right. Well, I mean, we put the work in. We listened to our constituency and compiled the list. I feel good about today.
There was a democratic process. Kind of.
I don't feel good
it
about
it. Was more like a republic.
I don't feel good about Murray State now up 17 on Marquette.
Just mark it down.
Oh my
God. We were a republic on this. You know, we weren't elected, but we're here. And then you had ideas and we considered them and then we decided, just like Congress.
Why did the both of you take Murray State?
Marquette's bad for a 5. Murray State got somebody liked them. I don't know. Speaking of the tournament,
Kansas 87, Northeastern 53.
That's a blowout. That's
4 points for me.
Right, you have Kansas.
I'll wave my little 4-point flag while you guys are about to be pushing your scores to 17 with the 12 from Murray State that is very likely coming.
In pick 9, who does Kansas play next?
Kansas will play Auburn.
All right.
Who we both have.
Head to head.
Oh, great.
And they'll probably be favored. You'll probably be favored there. That's good for you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they did win by 100, so.
Whatever, there's a lot
Auburn,
of games.
Auburn barely
there's a lot of games. I've got some double-digit seeds working later. So
Auburn probably shouldn't have even won.
Right.
If a guy takes a layup.
Right. Well, that would have tied it, but that's right. All right, New Mexico State. That was the best finish of the day. It had to be. Paul Hamilton on the Sabres. And what do you think Jack Eichel is thinking these days? We'll talk to Paul about that and more next. Also, Nate Oates coming up on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Rob Ray joins Chopin Bulldog game days at 4. Howard and Jeremy welcome Marty Biron Thursday mornings at 7:30 on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And there they all are right there. What's in there? Sal Capaccio's in there. Jeremy White, Chopin the Bulldog. There's Alan Davis, John and Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro. Whole crew is in there.
Really?
And you know what? Paul is the only one upstairs working. The rest of the guys are on vacation.
That is how it goes. Paul's appearance with us here is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
I did see last night's game.
I'm sorry.
I stayed with it. We were there all the way to the end. It was interesting enough. I liked the Nylander goal. Really, though, Paul, right? Most of it was just dodging bullets.
Yeah. I mean, you did see them stay close. I mean, they were a post away from tying the game. In a game that they really had no business being in. I mean, Hutton was totally on top of his game, and there were three things that kept that team in the game. It was Hutton, and their penalty kill I thought was excellent, and their power play scored them a goal and got them the lead. Their 5-on-5 was as bad as it was in Denver. it was just nothing. I mean, to watch them on the wall try to get the puck out with just very little effort and just nonchalant and just meh, you know, not really have any desire to battle to try to get the puck out, and it's just, well, let me just flip it here. And of course the Leafs kept it in, and then they would break the coverage and they'd start cycling it. It looks like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals then, as they just go flying behind the net and keep cycling and keep cycling, and Hutton kept making save after save. And it really was, the 5-on-5 was as bad as you're ever going to see.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, does it, I know you wrote today, like the last paragraph, the last lines of your piece at WGR550.com, forgive me, you might have posted it last night after the game, but whatever,
yes.
Your game story is about Housley and how you've said that you feel as though, from just being around the team, being around the organization, that the wind isn't blowing towards a coaching change. But last night, it reads like pushed you over an edge in that department, yeah. Much like maybe last week did to me. There was a day that I was in here last week just going, I don't know, don't tell me about the optics of firing coaches every 2 years. The optics of keeping a coach that's coaching a team that's playing like this are way worse than that, and maybe that's you last night.
I think it's the last 2 weeks. It's just the St. Louis game was the exception, and if I saw most nights like the St. Louis game, I would be totally fine, and whether they won or lost. And they would lose that game sometimes too. They won it in overtime, and there'd be times they would lose that game, and I'd be totally fine with it because it was a full effort throughout the game. And, yeah, they blew a two-goal lead because they aren't a very good team, but when I see – you know, them have effort and be on top of their game and show some gumption and you know, at least go out there and have some passion in what they were doing, that would be fine. But that St. Louis game right now is few and far between. And, yeah, they had a nice third period against the Leafs, and so what? And they almost wound up at least getting a point out of it just because of a goaltender that held them in. But I know the Pegulas do not want to be firing coaches every 2 years. They just don't. But how can they ignore that arena last night? That is the worst I have seen it by far. I was looking in the press box. I was having trouble finding Sabre jerseys in the lower bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Usually in a Leaf game, I can find groups of Sabre jerseys. You know, it's 50-50, 60-40 Sabre fans, something like that. Last night, I honestly had trouble finding Sabre jerseys down there, and I'm not blaming the fans whatsoever. I understand why they sold their tickets. They don't want to watch this hockey, and they can make some good money on it, so go ahead and go make the money. But that the ownership, I don't think, can ignore that, and I think the fans have spoken with what we saw in that arena yesterday.
Well, yeah.
Last night.
I was taking all that in, too. I thought last night, really, I didn't think about this a lot. I just tried to not think about it. But I did think at one point that the Leaf fans are just taking pity on the Sabre fans. It was not even loud. The Leaf fans were not, you know, even in recent years when it's the Leafs, the fans go back and forth. And there was almost none of that last night. I just feel like Leaf fans were just sort of, they felt like they were at a home game. Like there was,
how
just
could a Sabre fan go back and forth?
No, it happened once. It happened once right up by where you sit.
Yeah, your
early
team's
in the game.
Yeah, your team's getting absolutely run over. I mean, right. There's really not much you can do. I mean, the third period, you could get up on your hind legs if you want to, because it's a one-goal game after Nylander scored. And, you know, maybe you could say something then, but for 40 minutes, I mean, you're sitting on your hands going,
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Well, so the arena is one point, Paul, and then, like, there is this point about just, look, I know the Leafs are having a much better year. This is the first time that they really outclassed the Sabres, to my eyes. Even the games up in Toronto that Buffalo lost, and they ended up not being even that close, were games where there was like a pocket in that first game where they gave up 4 goals in the second period, 3 of them in 2.5 minutes. Most of the game, I thought, was a competitive, even hockey game. And I'd say the same about the other game up there. This effort, like, that's There's not that many games that really rate, and it has seemed before like this group of players recognizes what the Leafs game represents to the fans, and they mailed it in last night. Like, that can't be good for, I you know, the coach, for the players. Like, it's just not – the whole thing was a dial tone.
No, it can't be. And that's why I think, you know, Phil Housley could have some problems here, which I don't think as of a month ago he was having. He was in that same predicament. But, I mean, and recently, two of the worst efforts against Colorado and Toronto are against teams that were struggling. The Leafs have been struggling, giving up over 5 goals a game. I don't think in 40 minutes the Sabres had 5 scoring chances.
Yeah.
Yet be able to score 5 goals in that game. And in Colorado, that was horrendous. Again, Colorado was not playing that well at the time. So you're going into games against teams that are hurting, and you're laying eggs like that. I mean, that just, to me, and it can't just be the coach. I mean, there are some players that need to leave. And I don't care if they go somewhere and play well or whatever, but it's not happening here. It's as simple as that. And with the way they play hockey here, I've seen enough. I would hope Jason Botterill and the ownership has seen enough. And to me, just changing a coach is not going to change it, because they'll just be firing the next coach in 2 years if they hold on to a lot of these players.
There generally has been no shortage of these plays. There was the one play last night where I felt like, you've got to be kidding, is – maybe you'll remember it. Scandella taking an open slap shot from the blue line on an odd, what amounted to an odd man rush. And Ristolainen does this, and it's just like, all right, here's the play. And he's got Eichel on his left and nobody in front of the goalie, and he just took a slap shot from the blue line. Like, out of 1,000 attempts, would he ever score on that shot? Just like, oh, my God.
But that's being drilled into him by the coaching staff. Shoot. And – you know, it's all he does in practice is drills that into him, and you got that basically was a 4-on-2.
Right. I want to give Scandella enough credit to think that he would have. I mean, he would have a different instinct there. So, but I don't either want to assume that he's doing that to spite his coach. It's just like, what a terrible play.
I don't believe that for 1 second. He was doing it to spite his coach. It's just they have it programmed in their head now, or they're trying to program in their heads. We want shots. We want shots. You're not taking enough shots. You're not taking enough shots. So you get up over the blue line and like that, and you have the opportunity to shoot. So that's what your program – shoot. But it's not because you're trying to do it to spite your coach. It's you're trying to please your coach, because that's what he's been asking for. But, again, that's when, you know, you've got to also – let your hockey sense kick in a little bit too, and realize what situation you're in.
Yeah, spite isn't exactly the right word. It's like, okay, coach, if this is what you want. But I mean, that's just so cynical. I mean, I think maybe the original point is I could be cynical about that too. That, I mean, guys like me that care about possession stuff or only do it on a sort of a base level, what is that? That is shots.
That's a shot.
That's shot attempts. And even with whatever this shot mentality stuff is, I look up and it's like 42 to 20 or 38 to 11 or whatever the shots were. Like, it just doesn't – it still didn't – even if their point is in these games against a team like that is to get shots because it's embarrassing to not, they still can't even come close. Didn't come close.
No.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, what do they have, 7 shots in the first period and 8 in the second, and by the time the second rolled around, I believe the Leafs had 30. Yeah, they did. They had 38, 19 in both periods.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's just, that's just brutal.
What's Eichel thinking? Do you have any insight into, like, his real thoughts at this point? I mean, is he maybe a little numb? I mean, this is the fourth year. He's never come close to the playoffs the way this year started. Do you have anything on him?
I think he is numb, yes. Just today, I just wanted a couple of comments. The article I'm composing right now is, about going to Sweden and talking to the Swedish players. But I wanted Eichel's thoughts on, going to Sweden and if that would be fun or whatever. And he was cordial. He was fine. But he also was very, down and, really didn't have a whole lot to say. And I was approaching a topic that had nothing to do with them losing or the state of the team or anything like that. But he, as I said, I don't want to say he didn't agree to do the interview or he was nasty or, was like, get out of here or anything like that. But it was just like, that'll be nice. It'll be fun.
It was an obligation. It was an obligation
for
him.
Right. And I don't want to put him down because he could have said no or anything like that. But I think to your point, he's just numb right now. It's like he, of all the guys in there, they all hate losing, I'm sure. But he just despises it, And I don't think he knows what to do about it right now. He's a young captain. Things were going pretty well in the beginning of the year for him and for the team. And, you know, I think he feels responsible as a captain that I need to do something to try to get this team going, and nothing is getting this team going. And the competitor in him, it has to get to him.
It's embarrassing. Like, there's Matthews on the other bench, or when McDavid comes through, or almost any of these young stars. It's embarrassing. And he doesn't have to take it personally, but he might. Whether he does or not, it's embarrassing. He's one of these young guys. He's one of these young stars. And even McDavid has had a look at it. And, you know, here's Buffalo just, like, mired. Right. This is the third season in a row that's coming to the finish, and guys on the team, maybe even him, are going, I can't wait for this to be over. Like, last year you had the sulking O'Reilly. The year before that, you've got the game where Bylsma has Reinhardt on the bench the whole night in Columbus and won't even put him on the ice, and everybody gets fired. Like, what a miserable time of year this is, you know, becoming right. in Buffalo as the season ends.
And this is a kid who loves playing the game. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the last 4 years he's talked about, I just love playing hockey. It's like, right. This is great. What he just loves playing the game. And I think it's just like, oh, come on, guys. I'm sure he loved that St. Louis game. He probably really enjoyed playing in that game. But when it's like last night where, you know, nobody's going and, you know, it's just, you know, it's tough on him.
Yeah. All right, that's our Paul Hamilton. We will take a timeout here. We get back, we will bring you a conversation with the UB Bulls men's basketball coach, Nate Oates. His team gets ready to play Arizona State tomorrow at 4 in Tulsa. So stay tuned for that. That's next on WGR.
It's a big matchup, not only because Coach Hurley used to coach at Buffalo, and him and Coach Oates are really good friends, and they were assistant and head coach. But it's a big matchup because Arizona State's a really good team, and I feel like we're a really good team, and people are saying that they don't know if we're going to win this game, but we're just going to go out there and give it our all, and we should be good with the results.
C.J. Massenburg, one of the stars of the UB men's team that have become somewhat household names, Perkins and Harris, and like, just so cool how this has happened. Nate Oates is largely due the credit, the coach of the team, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline from Tulsa. Nate.
What's going on?
Are you getting...
Holding it down in Grand Island?
What's that, sorry?
So you holding it down for me in Grand Island?
Of course. Are you getting good questions down there? So, like, you've been to the tournament. This is your third time. People know who you are, ranked all year. What's the difference, if there is one, in the kind of questions you get, in like, media-wise?
Well, we have the media where we have to go in, do our little deal, and literally the entire time, all they asked me about today was my relationship with Coach Hurley. Mm-hmm. I got no questions about my players. I literally spent like 15, 20 minutes talking about Coach Hurley and my relationship. So hopefully, if we get a win, I'll be able to talk more about my players, since they're the ones that should be being talked about, not mm-hmm. Coach Hurley and myself.
Yeah.
Well, Nate, tell us all about Coach Hurley, then. that's what everyone wants to know. No, I'm kidding. I don't really care.
Well, I did have the pleasure of watching an Arizona State game with you once. And so I would, like, I'm not going to talk out of school, but I know that, or at least at the time, that you were in communication with him. Like, is that still the case? Like, I also heard you say you thought you sort of expected, once the draw was playing out, that they might do this to you or for you, create this matchup.
Yeah, do this to us is really what I would rather not play him. Obviously, he gave me my start in the business, so, you know, I do pull for him still. No, we still talk. As a matter of fact, we talked Sunday night after the selection show, and kind of, you know, agreed we'd pull for each other, and we're friends now, and we'll compete really hard during the game and then be friends after the game. So not an ideal situation, but it is what it is.
So how do you feel your team is? What kind of form are they in? Obviously, you won the MAC tournament last weekend. But I know I read or maybe I heard you say something earlier this week with Howard and Jeremy referring to, you know, playing, you know, big conference programs again, and like that you got to kind of get your game in order for that. So I'm just curious, like, how you feel your team is approaching this.
You know, I think they're mature, and I think they're really locked in. I think they realize that this team's really talented. We're playing. We're going to have to play our best basketball. It's not going to be one of those games where we can come in and, you know, I felt like we won 12 in a row, but some of these 12 wins we've gotten, we didn't necessarily play our best on whether it's one end or the other. You know, we may have shot the ball great but not guarded, or played great defense but had a bunch of turnovers. We're going to have to put both sides of the ball together to get a win tomorrow.
So it's UB and Arizona State tomorrow afternoon. Nate Oates with us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR. What do you think your tournament experience is worth? What happened last year is worth? Is it something where like you wouldn't dwell on it, or maybe think it matters to focus on, or is it something you're relying on here this weekend?
No, I do think it helps. I think guys have been there. One, you build confidence up by doing that. I mean, we play nine guys every game. Seven of those nine guys all played last year and were significant contributors in the win against Arizona. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to convince themselves they can beat a team like this in the NCAA tournament. They've already beaten a team that was really good last year. So let's rely on it, but, you know, let's also learn from our mistakes. Let's, you know, maybe we didn't do something quite as good as we were supposed to. So we're going to keep, we're going to keep preparing like they're supposed to. I think our guys are pretty good, though. I do want them to, you know, we always use past experiences. Learn from the past, you know, don't dwell on it, but learn from it. So I think we learned some good lessons last year.
What about this Arizona State specifically is something, maybe a few things that you feel like you need to really, you know, buckle down on?
Well, I think their offensive rebounding is really good. They're one of the better rebounding teams in the country. We have to take care of the ball. We can't turn the ball over because that'll get them out in transition. They're one of the most athletic teams in the country, especially, I mean, really all over the place. They're really athletic. They get fouled a bunch. They get to the free throw line a lot, so we got to be smart with how we guard them. We can't end up in foul trouble the whole game. You know, I mean, those are the big ones. And then there's some little nuances, you know, here and there. But we got to be tough without being stupid and fouling. I mean, we got to box out. We got to, you know, keep bodies on guys so their athleticism gets negated a little bit. And, you know, obviously it helps when you make shots. When we beat Arizona last year, we made 15 threes, so that certainly wouldn't hurt.
What kind of fan support will you have there?
It's a good question. I mean, last year we didn't, you know, they sent us out west to Boise and didn't think we'd have much. All of a sudden the entire gym all of a sudden was Buffalo fans. It was awesome. Being the sixth seed versus the 13th seed, I don't know if we can pull that off like we did last year, but I don't know. We'll see.
Right, 13 last year. You're at that game. I mean, I've been to the tournament like that, and just sort of you don't know anything about the team you're watching, but, ooh, look at this. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Our guys did a really good job, and, you know, they kind of endeared themselves to the city of Boise. You know, it didn't hurt that I think Kentucky had said some stuff about they didn't want to go to Boise, and we were just happy to be there. So they kind of took us under their wing. Well, hopefully we can get Tulsa to do the same thing down here.
Tulsa and Boise, these are not exactly easy direct flights for fans who want to make the trip.
I don't think there's any directs to either of those two cities, if I'm not mistaken. So
no, but, you know,
probably not too easy unless they got, you know, some, maybe you could arrange some private charters down there or something to get a direct.
Yeah. We'll get on that.
Yeah,
be nice.
So, how split? Like, what I heard? I heard the AD on yesterday talking about where, and I don't know that he divulged where he was going to go, Nate. So, like, how split is the athletic department with the women playing at the almost the exact same time, but in Storrs, Connecticut, while you guys are in Tulsa?
Yeah, I believe they said senior women's athletic director Kathy Twist out with the women.
All right.
And Mark came with us, okay. So Mark is here with us. I'm not sure exactly how they're splitting everybody else up, but, we've got our administrator, Eric Gross, he's here. But, yeah, it didn't make it easy on us. I think last year, we were on a Thursday. They were on a Friday, so made it a little bit easier. You could kind of go back and forth. It would have been nice if they'd have put us in Hartford with the girls being right there in stores.
Yep.
Well,
but they didn't.
I know from talking to you in the past, you've never minded. Mike even referenced one way you answered a question I asked you last year about going into the MAC tournament as the favorite, and you just said something to the effect of, I'd rather be the favorite. I'd rather be hunted. Right, it means we're good. So I'm wondering now, I mean, community-wise, like the support was really, really strong. The scene in the arena for home games was unprecedentedly good. So... And now you won a game last year, so now the pressure is there to win two, I think, like from the fans who maybe haven't been following the program super closely all year long. I'm wondering if anything feels different to you here going into this thing this year as a six, having won last year and knowing that people back in Buffalo here are going, okay, well, go win this and then go beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, no, there's a little pressure amongst ourselves too. We always said we wanted to go further than we did last year, so that's getting to that second weekend. So, yeah, we're going to have to beat, whether it's Northern Kentucky or Texas Tech, if we can get by Arizona State. So we've got to buckle down. It's not going to be easy. Sure, I mean, if you get to the second weekend of the tournament, you're supposed to be one of the best 16 teams in the country. So we're right there, though. I mean, yeah. in the polls and the rankings, we're close. It's just it's going to be a war. We're going to have to play really well.
Nate, all the best. We really appreciate you taking time out for us today. It's got to be just...
No, thanks for having me on. You guys are great. Love coming on your show.
Thank you, Nate. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, you guys take care.
All right.
Bye.
All right, that's it for us. Stay tuned. NCAA tournament action, men's basketball on the way next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.